The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. Sometimes we do more than one show per day, or sometimes we do more than five shows per week, I guess is the proper way to put it. It's basically like these go to 11 for those of you that like Spinal Tap jokes. And if you do like Spinal Tap jokes, you're at the right podcast. Happy birthday, America. It's July 4th. And what can be more American than subscribing to our YouTube channel? Go do it. Find it. It's on Twitter. It's hard to explain. It's like buried within CBS Sports' YouTube channel. So you pretty much have to, go to my Twitter page at Will Brinson or at Pick Six Pod and you can find it there. You might even be able to go to John Breach's Twitter page and find it at John Breach. Of course, you should be following him. Great tweets about cats and, kickers. Plenty of talk about kickers, which speaking of things that are American, we were talking about all American kickers on this podcast. Like Ray Finkel?
Fireworks are going to be flowing, Brinson, because Finkel is Einhorn. Einhorn is Finkel. What better way to spend your 4th of July than talking about the top 10 kickers and punters in the NFL? I know you couldn't think of a better way. That's why you decided to host this show on the 4th of July. This was your idea. You said, let's pull Breach off his holiday. We'll have him talk about on the 4th of July. And America wins on her 244th birthday, I think it is.
That is terrible math. Is that good math? I don't know. Is it bad math or good math? I don't know. How old is America? I should probably know that. How old is Earth? Who knows? Who can predict these things? I mean, really, science is out the window in 2020. Now I'm going to do quick math.
I want to point out that Breach is right.
244th. That's right. I can't really explain the math I was doing, but it was bad. Anyway. Breach, thanks for joining us on this American holiday. You skipped apple pie. You skipped hot dogs. You just want to talk kickers. That's how addicted to kickers you are. And in fact, we're also going to talk punters. How many people do you think, like if you polled 100 random people who are football fans, how many people could name 10 kickers?
You know, it's funny you asked that question. I think that probably if you polled 100 random people, I think probably 60 or 70 could name 10 kickers. But if we switch that to 10 punters,
I think it's like five.
Yeah, I think the number goes way down, and I think it's under 20 because most people know their punter. And then there's a couple big-name punters that we'll talk about later on that I think people probably know. But other than that, I think the average football fan could probably name four punters.
How many – professional NFL writers, like national NFL writers, could name 10 punters right now. They're dead serious.
We called them on the 4th of July. They're drinking a little bit, and we're like, all right, man, we're putting you on the spot. Name 10 punters. The number's not 100%. There's definitely people who wouldn't be able to name 10 punters.
Should we call, literally right now on the – it's not – I mean, we're recording this a little early, but you can pretend it's the 4th of July. Should we call Pete Prisco and see if he can name 10 punters?
I don't know if Prisco could name – I think he could. Prisco knows a lot about the league, so I do think he would probably pull it off. But I think it would take him a second.
I'm going to ask Pete right now if he can name 10 punters right now.
Brinson is texting this man live. He's not going to respond texting.
Jamie, Pete, and former Pick Six podcast member, Nick Costas, we're on a thread.
I think I could name 10 punters if you, I mean, I think during the season I could easily name 10 punters.
But in the middle of off season,
like in the middle of June, I just don't know that, like, without, I mean, not without looking at the list, like, I think I would get to 10, but it would be around, I would have to do it in a way where I was like going through a list of teams. So, anyway, let's get to the kickers. Kickers I could easily do. And, you actually ranked all 10 of them. What was the criteria for the ranking, Breach?
Well, here's the, how I start off. Before I do anything, I look at it as if all the kickers were free agents, if there was a kicker draft tomorrow, which kicker would be drafted first? And because with kickers, it's really that simple. You want a kicker to be able to do basically three things. You want to be able to kick through the uprights because, if you can't do that, you're bad. You know, you need to be able to make your field goals. You need to be, strong. You got to have a strong leg, but you don't want too much strength at, you don't want to have that at the expense of your accuracy. And a good example of that is Brett Maher, of the Cowboys, who has probably one of the top three strongest legs in the NFL, but is nowhere near this top 10 list, cause he can't kick it straight. Mm. We saw him hit multiple 60-yard field goals, but he can't hit a 40-yard field goal, which is a problem. I also like longevity. If you've been kicking the NFL for a long time, it is not easy to keep a kicking job. We have the kicking carousel. All these players being flown in every Tuesday after a kicker misses field goals on Sunday. Kickers get replaced all the time. So if you've been able to keep your job, that means you're probably pretty good. And then obviously this is the part that doesn't necessarily apply to other positions, and that is the mental aspect of kicking. We have seen so many meltdowns over the years. In the past 15 years, Mike Vanderjack had a huge playoff miss. Almost never heard from again, just never recovered mentally. Blair Walsh had that huge one, Vikings Seahawks back in that playoff game.
Oh, God, that one.
Yeah, and then he was, boom, just never recovered mentally, wasn't able to kick in the NFL anymore. So there is a huge mental aspect of that, and so you want to see that kickers can handle pressure, and that also helps you get on this list.
Okay, I like it. And so it doesn't necessarily matter, like, stats don't matter to you as much. Like, you're, I mean, they do, but they do, you know what I'm saying? Like, that, like, you're not basing it on, so like we talked running backs with Patrick Walker, and it felt like he was leaning heavily on, you know, like the actual production. Like, you know, Alvin Kamara doesn't have a 1,000-yard rushing season, so we got left off. I mean, for me, I would put him on regardless of the stats. Like, you're not leaning heavily on, like, 2019 stats as a 2020 predictor.
I mean, I am looking at the stats, but here's the thing with kickers is that there's so many nuances that, like, if you kick in a dome and you have better stats than a guy who kicks in Denver or Chicago in these cold weather cities, that doesn't necessarily mean you're a better kicker. Warm weather kickers are at an advantage, which I'll talk about later. So you're facing different conditions. Some kickers who do kick in domes, if you're in the AFC South, you might play 12 games in domes out of your 16, so you never really have to deal with the weather. So you kind of have to factor those things in also.
So when you're picking these kickers, are you taking them out of their element? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, so like if say Chris Boswell, for instance, right?
Yeah,
Chris Boswell. He kicks for the Pittsburgh Steelers, as everybody knows. I didn't just double check that. So Boswell kicks in Pittsburgh. That's a much harder place to kick. Would you then ding him for being in Pittsburgh, or are you doing these independent of weather when you're selecting the kicker?
No, Boswell. So, and actually Boswell was a name who came up a lot in tweets when our CBS Sports HQ came out, because people thought he was ranked too high, because he had a horrible 2018 season. 65% of his field goals. I think he was dead last in the NFL. And everybody's like, why is Boswell on the list? But then he rebounded in 2019, had a huge year. I think he was top four in accuracy. And that does play a part. If Boswell is the seventh most accurate kicker in NFL history. But let's say last year he was the eighth most accurate kicker. And you had another guy who was the fifth most accurate kicker. And their only difference was one missed field goal. Well, I'm not going to hold that against Boswell because he is kicking. Heinz Field is notoriously one of the most difficult places to kick. So if you're hitting 88% of your field goals in Heinz Field, that to me, that's as good as hitting 90% in a dome, because there's gotcha. No guarantee that dome kicker could
maybe
hit
95%.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. So you're giving credit for guys who have to kick in difficult conditions.
Right. So if your numbers are a little bit lower, that it just depends why they're lower.
All right, now that we've gotten that out of the way, Debo is worried this podcast is going to run long, and he's right. It is. Happy birthday, man. I know. Let's get to the list. Checking in And the only reason he's on this list is because you wanted to do a kicker podcast. You knew if you included an Eagles kicker, he would, then Debo would seek you out to do a kicker podcast. And he did. You were right. Jake Elliott, the, where was he drafted? Yes. Fifth round of the 2017 NFL draft, has been with the Eagles for the last 3 years, 84% of his kicks made, ever since he stepped in as a 22-year-old rookie, has made 94% of his extra points. And 9 of 15, only attempted 15 kicks, 5 a year from 50 yards or more, but has a nice percentage from there, Breach. Why did he check in at number 10 for you?
Fun fact about Jake Elliott, he was actually drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals. And not only that, but the man who held his draft card and announced the pick was Jim Breach. So,
I forgot about that. That's right.
Jake Elliott. Yeah,
why did the Bengals not keep him?
Because Brandon Bullock, he had a horrible training camp. So obviously it looks dumb now, but he struggled badly. And at the time it was the correct decision, even though it looks like a dumb decision now. But with kickers, if your guy's only making 50% in training camp, you know, he's getting cut.
You can't roll in the season
with don't know what you're getting. Yeah. But then in his rookie year, like his third game, he had a 61-yard field goal against the Giants, and then everybody laughed at the Bengals. But that's neither here nor there. Hey, obviously.
Debo, what? You'll remember this because I remember something. Did somebody get hurt, or did the Eagles have to cut somebody?
Caleb Sturgis.
Yes.
Roster that Super Bowl season, and then Jake Elliott took over.
But Elliott played the whole season, right?
Yeah, because it was, like Breach said, that week three, he came in for that monster field goal against the Giants.
Sturgis, he buried it.
Yeah, buried it.
But they thought Sturgis was around because Jake Elliott didn't sign until after the Bengals cut him. So it was really, really late. It was just before the start of the season. So I think Sturgis played one game.
Got hurt.
Okay. Caleb
Sturgis suffered a quad strain in his plant leg, although Les Bowen reports it's a hip flexor. This is a Bleeding Green Nation. And was going to miss several weeks. As a result, they tested out kickers, brought in Elliott. Elliott made that huge field goal against the Giants and has never looked back. And again, that's why kicker lists are fickle, right, Breach?
That is, look, if you're a coach and you bring in your kicker, your rookie kicker, second game of his career, so second game he's ever played in the NFL, and he hits a 61-yarder, that's going to give you a long leash. You're not going to get rid of this guy if he does have some rookie struggles, and he did have those a little bit during his rookie season. There was a game where he missed multiple extra points against the 49ers, but you're the coach, you're saying, look, this guy hit a 61-yarder, he's making most of his field goals, we're going to keep him. And the one thing I like about Jake Elliott is that he has gotten better each season. And that's what you want to see from a kicker. His field goal percentage just continues to go up. His extra point percentage has gone up every single season. And Philadelphia, not an easy environment to kick in. And in the Super Bowl, he came up huge for the Eagles. He hit multiple field goals, and he is actually one of only three kickers in NFL history to hit multiple field goals of 40 yards or more in the Super Bowl. Only three kickers ever have done that. Jake Elliott, Garrett Hartley, and Jim Breach.
And you know, he actually doesn't get as much usage, I don't think, as a lot of kickers, because Doug Peterson's so aggressive about going for two and then going for it on fourth down. Like, you look at his numbers, he just didn't attempt a ton of them last year, 22 or 26, but a very nice 85% conversion rate as a kicker. All right, number 9, the man, the myth, the legend, speaking of tough places to kick, Mason Crosby.
Yeah, and Crosby is absolutely one of those. We always talk about how frozen tundra of Lambeau Field is such an advantage for the Packers, but like, it's not an advantage for the kicker, and this is why this is not a job any kicker in the NFL would want, but Mason Crosby has had it since 2007, which is kind of crazy, and he's had a couple years in there where he has struggled. 2017, he only hit 78.9% of his field goals. But when you're kicking in Green Bay as a coach, you understand you can't rip this guy out. You bring in another guy. There's no guarantee he's going to be better, especially kicking in that kind of weather. So the Packers stuck by him after those struggles in 2017. He had a decent 2018, and then came through last year with the best season of his career. This guy is
a peak kicker. It's like,
yeah. Yeah. This is
35 years old. He's like, I'm going to make 91% of my kicks. Why not?
So that came out of nowhere. And last year we saw him hit game-winning field goals. Lions fans, I'm sure you remember, he hit The Packers played the Lions twice, did not lead at all in either of those games with time on the clock, and Mason Crosby hit the field goals as time expired in two games against the Lions, winning both of those. So, yeah, based on where he kicks, came up clutch last year, he's number nine.
And for the record, Mason Crosby, 87.8% of his field goals from 30 to 39 yards over the course of his career. That's really good. Like he doesn't miss those chip shotters. If you look at even his bad season in 2012, he was 2 of 9 from 50 plus. And he had that one weird year, like you point out, 2017. I think people were talking about like maybe cutting him in 2017. People were mad at him. And now he's really established himself as one of the better kickers in the league. Number 8, Matt Prater.
Yeah, Lions fans felt like Prater should have been a little bit higher, but I think he came in a good spot. I was talking about two things you want, strength and accuracy. Prater is almost like a perfect combo of that. He's one of the strongest legged kickers in the NFL. He's probably top three strongest legs. He has the NFL record for longest field goal at 64 yards. He did that while he was playing for the Broncos, so we know he does have that super strong leg, and his accuracy seems to get a little bit better every single year, but he did have a slight down year in 2019, only 84% of his field goals. So that is why he is number 8. If he had hit 88 or 89, he probably would have been up a spot or two, but he does play in a dome where it should be a little bit easier to kick theoretically. But he did struggle a little bit in 2019.
Fun fact, Matt Prater in 2013 led the NFL with 96.2% of his field goals made and kicked 75 extra points, made every single one of them. That was, of course, Peyton Manning had a big old year, 114 kickoffs. And then, you know, it's weird, Breach. Then, like, he fell off a cliff the next year with Denver. Or did he get, maybe he got cut? I don't remember what happened in 2013, but you almost wonder, like, did his leg get worn out?
Yeah, kicking, trying to keep up with that Peyton Manning offense.
Yeah, 114 kickoffs is a ton, and 75 extra points. That's a lot of wear and tear on the leg. All right, at number 7, Dan the Man Bailey.
Dan the Man Bailey. You know what's funny is that the Cowboys, you remember this was a total surprise when Dan Bailey got cut by the Cowboys before the 2018 season. He, at the time, 4 or 5 years into his career, he was the most accurate kicker in NFL history. He injured his groin in 2017, didn't really come back, bounce back very strong. So the Cowboys kept him in 2017. He only hit 75% of his field goals, had a rough training camp, got cut in favor of Brett Maher, and then 75% of his field goals in 2018 with the Vikings, and it looked like this was another guy whose career was going to be over because he wasn't going to be able to bounce back from his injuries. But he did. Last year, he was one of the best kickers in the NFL. He hit 93.1% of his field goals. And so based on what he did his first 4 years, where he was one of the top three kickers in the NFL, combined with what he did last year, that is how Dan Bailey got to number 7.
I didn't anticipate asking this question, but where is Greg Zuerlein on this list? Current Cowboys kicker. Greg the Leg Zuerlein, did he fall off the list after a tremendous run? Yeah, it's 8 years with the Rams, made 82% of his field goals, but just 72.7 last year. Are you out on Greg the Leg?
That is, well, I'm glad you asked that, Brinson, because Greg Zuerlein is not on this list. And a reason for that, and it's the same reason that Steven Goskowski is not on this list. And I'm glad you asked this after the Dan Bailey ranking, because it has to do with injuries. I do not trust any kicker who is coming off an injury. We saw a few times last year, Ryan Succop with the Titans got injured last offseason. Titans ended up having the worst kicking situation in the NFL. Succop, career horrible year, was never able to bounce back from his injury. Adam Vinatieri, dealing with an injury in the offseason, came in, had a horrible year last year. Dan Bailey, dealing with the injury in 2017, had two horrible years. And so there's no guarantee that Zuerlein, he was dealing with a groin injury in 2018. I'm not sure what happened during that offseason, but in 2019, he just wasn't good. And, you know, obviously the Rams let him walk in free agency, so it feels like they may not think he's a top 10 kick anymore. And Goskowski is dealing with a hip injury, which is pretty serious for kickers. And he's absolutely, if he's 100% healthy, he's a top 5 kicker. But I don't know if he's healthy. He's still in the free agent market. So he is also not on this list because of that.
All right, number 6, we mentioned it before, Chris, the Boz Boswell. I'm just making up dumb nicknames for these guys at this point. Plays in Pittsburgh, kicks in Pittsburgh. Boswell, not quite top five, but it sort of Boswell has been, what's the word I'm looking for? He's only 28. He's got one Pro Bowl, but he's been at one point in time, I think it was 2018, where Steelers fans did not like Chris Boswell and like wanted him sliced and diced and cut on out of there.
Everybody wanted him out. He only hit 50% of his field goals from 40 to 49 yards in 2018. You want to be hitting probably 90% from 40 to 49. He was hitting 50. He only hit 65% of his field goals in 2018. It was just a horrible, horrible season. Mike Tomlin was basically being asked every week, are you going to cut this guy? Or are you going to get rid of him? But Tomlin stuck by him, and it paid off. Boswell is one of the best kickers in the NFL last year, kicking at Heinz Field, hit 93.5% of his field goals, which is an insanely high number. Anything over 90% is awesome. And let me say this, he was one of three kickers. There were only three kickers in the NFL who were perfect on extra points, you know, because you're not making every extra point ever since it's been moved back. Boswell went 28 of 28, and he's been in the NFL for 5 years. In three of his 5 years, he's hit 90% more of his field goals. So if he had not had that disastrous 2018 season, if he had hit, say, 85% of his field goals that year, he would probably be third or fourth on this list. But that disastrous year was such a disaster that we couldn't put him in the top five.
Number five, a man who disgusts me, Will Lutz, because he's one of those freaks who only has one L in his name. Like, what are we doing? That's worse than Wills with an S. What are we doing? One L Will? Get the hell out of here, pal.
I'm going to start calling you Wills, man. Wills Brinson.
I do know a Will, so I feel bad. He's a child, so I feel bad. Like,
is his name William, and they shorten it to Wills?
I don't know. Maybe it's Williams. Although my middle name is Williams, so maybe my parents should have called me Wills. Will Lutz, 4 years in New Orleans, has made 87.5% of his field goals. He was undrafted coming out of Georgia State. Has made 97% of his extra points, which is not, maybe it's not surprising because he's in the dome, but he has been rock solid for the Saints ever since he landed in New Orleans.
Yeah, Lutz has been fantastic during his time with the Saints, and I think that he was another one. I got a lot of feedback on Twitter. Well, why isn't Lutz in the top three? He needs to be in the top three.
Are people really doing that?
That people take their kickers ranking a lot more seriously than I thought, but you know, I was ready to argue back, so that is okay. Lutz is the only top five kicker that kicks in a dome. I think kicking a dome does give you a slight advantage because you don't have to worry about the weather. So, you know, his percentages should be a little bit higher. But he had a great 2019 season. He doesn't really miss big kicks, and I don't think that he should necessarily be in the top three. I think he could eventually be in the top three. I think fifth is a good spot for him right now. And, you know, when you're the Saints, you need a clutch kicker because, you know, the offense moves the ball downfield all the time. Don't always score a touchdown. You got to know you can get points on the board. And Will Lutz does that for New Orleans.
All right. Top four. Robbie, what do you say? I should be doing these in Chris Berman voice. Like, Robbie Good as Gold, Gold, or Robbie Good as Gold, or whatever he would say. Robbie Gold, number four. Remember when he was really good for the Chicago Bears and they let him leave?
Can't believe that. Sean, we need to have a podcast with Sean about that. He's probably still sad about
it. I know. Be like letting Sean leave.
Nobody would do that. Don't get crazy, Brinson.
Is he, if this is Saturday's show?
Nope.
Okay.
Mailbag.
But also maybe check Twitter if you're hearing this.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so
Robbie Gold actually had a bad year in 2019.
Now, and I got grilled on this, but again, I am always ready to defend my rankings with stats. Robbie Gold did have a bad year. So let me say this. The Bears dumped him after the 2015 season. 2016 was Chicago. He hits 100% of his field goals. 2017, 95.1% of his field goals, second in the NFL. 2018, 97.1% of his field goals that led the NFL. This is what the Bears let go. Now, last year, he hit 74.2% of his field goals. He ranked in the bottom five of the NFL. But I am cutting him some slack, and here is why. Number one, the 49ers had a rookie punter, which means they had a rookie holder. Mitch Wishnowsky is from Australia. These Australian guys, they didn't grow up catching a football and put it down to holding. It takes some adjustment. Holder is actually a pretty difficult job. I don't think most people understand that. And when you're a kicker, you have to trust that your long snapper is going to do his job and your holder is going to do his job before you can even kick the ball. So two things have to happen before you can do your job. And so I think there is not a full amount of trust there yet. And then the other part is that the 49ers went through four different long snappers in 2019. Kyle Nelson, their normal starter, got suspended. I don't know how a long snapper gets suspended. So while he was out, they had three guys. And with those three long snappers, Robbie Gold went 12 of 19 through the first 6 weeks of the season. That is a horrible number. So that is seven missed kicks. Then when Kyle Nelson came back, Gold finished the season 17 of 18. And he also hit two big field goals in the Super Bowl, three field goals in the NFC title game, including a 54-yarder. So once he had his normal snapper back, he was back to his normal self.
Mm. Also, you know, he kicked 85% of his field goals that were – he made 85% of his field goals that were inside 50 yards, so that's good. You might have said that. I tuned out because the HBO announced that Curb Your Enthusiasm is coming back for another season.
Well, that's exciting.
Love the season. Very exciting. Number three, Josh Lambeau.
You know what? I don't know. This is probably the thing that blew my mind the most about these rankings. So we had our CBS Sports HQ Twitter account tweet out our rankings. And you know who I got the most blowback from? Josh Lambeau fans. I didn't know Josh Lambeau. I didn't know that Jacksonville had fans, let alone like fans of their kicker. Maybe it's because he's the only good player on the roster. But the Jags fans were out in full force ripping me for not having Lambeau at number two, at least. They said he was too low. I'm like, he's number three. And some of them were trying to make the argument that he was better than Justin Tucker, which is just –
That's just bizarre.
If you gave any NFL team a choice to pick one kicker to kick for them next year, they would all take – Justin Tucker. So that is just hands down. He can't be, and I'm spoiling that Justin Tucker's number one. But so Josh Lambeau had a fantastic year last season. He led the NFL in field goal percentage, 97.1%, which was better than Tucker. He only missed one extra point. But here is why Josh Lambeau is not number one. He plays in better weather. He plays in warm weather Jacksonville. Tucker plays on the East Coast in Baltimore where it gets cold, it gets windy, it gets bad. Warm weather is easier to kick in. Somebody tried to tweet at me and tell me, oh, well, it's all humid and Josh Lambeau kicks in way worse weather. It is easier to kick in warm weather. I think the confusion comes because you see these long field goals in Denver when it's cold, but that's because the air is thin and the ball travels further because they're at a mile high of elevation. Other than that, you take Denver out, cold weather is almost impossible to kick in. Warm weather is better because the air is less dense, so the ball floats further and the football is more elastic, so it bounces off your foot more. You want to kick in warm weather. The other reason Lambeau is not ahead of Tucker or at number one is because he has less pressure on him. Look, the Ravens were 14-2 last year. Every single one of Tucker's field goals is big. When you're losing a game 21-3 and you have to come out and kick a field goal, there's no pressure. So Lambeau should be making his kicks. And then also, Lambeau in the past 3 years has three misses under 46 yards, which is kind of that line of demarcation where kickers need to be good from under 46. And teams will accept a little bit worse over 46. And Tucker only has one miss on his own. He had a couple blocked, but only one that he actually missed. So, Josh Lambeau, you are not number one, but you are number three, which I thought would appease Jaguars fans, but it did not.
All right, since we know Justin Tucker is number one, let's wrap up the kicker talk by pointing out that at number two, Harrison Butker. And number one, Justin Tucker. Harrison Butker is the only kicker I've ever interviewed. I interviewed him at the combine.
How'd that go?
It's really good. He was going to Georgia Tech. Has a really, I think he graduated with like a 3.9. He's very smart and in engineering and, dude.
Did he see right through the fact that you didn't know what you were talking about when it came to kicking?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Drafted by, his Twitter handle is fantastic at buttkicker7. Drafted by the Panthers in the seventh round. The Panthers actually cut him. He's scooped up by, the Chiefs. It might be because Cairo Santos got hurt. Is that right? Is that possible? Or Caleb Sturgis got hurt?
Well, I want to say real quick, the Panthers were getting ripped for letting Butker go, but Graham Gano was a really, he's been battling injuries now, so it looks dumb, but at the time.
Yeah, but Butker's on a rookie deal.
How much was Graham Gano making at the time?
They franchise tagged him.
Yeah, that's like that was like $4 million then. The difference is so small. If you're talking about $3.5 million where I have a proven kicker, this isn't like a quarterback
I understand
salary.
With the Panthers' decision. Yeah, I'm fine with it. But like at some point, if you think you got a good kid who can kick like he can, you got to go make a move.
And the Panthers did think that because they put him on the practice squad.
Yeah.
They tried to
And then he
him.
Just got scooped up. And who got hurt for the Chiefs? Somebody got hurt for the Chiefs. Let's find out.
Yeah, that is you're going out of my 2017. I've already blocked out all the kicking stats from 2017 to move on to 2000.
It was Cairo Santos.
Poor Cairo.
Cairo Santos got hurt, I think, and injury in 2017.
He did because he was 3 for 3 on the year, and you wouldn't get rid of a kicker.
Yeah.
Who's 3 for 3.
He suffered a groin injury, and they had to go get Butker, and then they've rolled with Butker ever since because Butker came in and in 2017 made 90.5% of his field goals, 38 of 42 in 13 games for the Chiefs and made every single extra point. He was clutch for that team and has been awesome ever since.
Yeah, and real quick, Cairo Santos, that groin injury. If there's two things you don't want to see a kicker injure, it is his groin because there's so much involved with your movement when you have a plant foot. You just don't want to have your groin injured. You don't want to have your hip injured. And if you're dealing with those two injuries, you know, there's no guarantee you're going to make it back and be the kicker you were before. But yeah, Brinson Butker came up huge. We saw him in the playoffs in the Super Bowl. He had two huge games and against the Vikings. He scored almost all their points. And that was when Patrick Mahomes was out. If they don't win that game, all of a sudden they're playing the wild card round. The Patriots have that bye. So, you know, Butker came up huge a couple times for this team, and he also hit a 77-yard field goal during the offseason, not during a game.
Anything you want to add on your man's Justin Tucker? Are we good?
I will just say that he is hands down.
Is he the greatest kicker of all time?
I was on JLC, Jason Lockenford's radio show, and I think from a talent standpoint, he is the best kicker in NFL history. Now, I'm not sure he'll get to the Hall of Fame. I think if he does this for hear me out. If he does this for 3 or 4 more years, I do think he will get to the Hall of Fame. But you know, you just never know. You look, there's only two true kickers in the Hall of Fame. Juan Cenerud, Morton Anderson. Morton Anderson had to play almost forever. He was the NFL's all-time leading scorer. Now Vinatieri's all-time leading scorer. I think Vinatieri will get in, but Vinatieri has these iconic kicks. Everybody knows the Super Bowl game winners. The snow kick against the Raiders is probably the greatest field goal in NFL history because it's such a low percentage kick. And so Justin Tucker doesn't have those iconic kicks that Hall of Fame voters kind of associate with putting someone in. I don't know that they're going to put someone in on talent alone, but right now he's the most accurate kicker in NFL history. He's probably the greatest talent. We just need the Ravens need to get some of those iconic kicks in there for him.
You know what? Sadly, he's going to hurt the Ravens or hurt Justin Tucker's Hall of Fame case. John Harbaugh now going for it all the time on fourth down. Justin Tucker attempted just 29 field goals last season. He made 28, of course, but that is a career low for him, and just one field goal of 50 plus yards, because instead of trotting Tucker out for these long field goals, they're going for it on fourth and short.
Yeah. So, and to Brinson's point, when he attempted 29 field goals last year, that was so far, that was the first time in 5 years that he had attempted under 30.
Yeah.
First time ever. So, and 2018, he attempted 39. Yeah. So Harbaugh's gung-ho attitude is definitely going to hurt Tucker. Tucker's had 2 years where he led the NFL in field goal attempts in 2013 and 2015. But again, as Brent mentioned, because Harbaugh's saying, hey, we're going for it on fourth down, he's not getting those attempts anymore. So,
and he had a career high and led the NFL career highs in both extra points attempted and extra points made, and led the NFL in both those categories because the Ravens are so prolific at scoring and finishing off drives. But lower field goal percentage is probably going to hurt his Hall of Fame case. I bet he gets in eventually. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk the top 10 punters in the NFL.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
So it wasn't enough to have Breach do top 10 kickers. They said, why not? Let's be crazy. Let's toss out top 10 punters. We're ranking all the positions. We need content. And here we are on Saturday, July 4th, ranking top 10 kickers. We're not going to go through them individually, Breach, because frankly, we have to go get drunk.
Punters are people too. It is July 4th. That is true. We're sorry, punters. We should. That is why you don't record podcasts on July 4th, because you have a finite window to work with.
The bottom five, Kevin Huber, Michael Dixon. Michael Dixon lower than I thought. Cameron Johnson, Logan Cook, and Brian Anger, the man famously drafted by the Jacksonville Jaguars in the third round of the 2012 NFL draft, a California kicker. He was taken just a couple of spots ahead of this quarterback you may have heard of, Russell Wilson. And now he kicks for the Houston, he punts for the Houston Texans. Tell me about that bottom five there.
Yeah, I would say the biggest backlash I got here was that Sam Cook from the Ravens did not make the list. I think you could probably switch him in there with Huber at number 10. But Ravens fans, the reason Sam Cook didn't make it is because three of the past 4 years, his net yardage has been under 40. That is not a great number for an NFL punter. And look, the Ravens also giving up a ton of punt return yards. They've been one of the five worst teams in, I think, three of the past 4 years, which is surprising because John Harbaugh is a special teams coach. He's got this loaded field goal unit. I'm surprised that he has let the punt team just surrender all these punt return yards. But other than that, you mentioned Dixon. Dixon had a phenomenal rookie year, was a Pro Bowler. He lost 3 yards off his punting average and just kind of fell back to earth. He kind of had that adrenaline of his rookie year. He was still a very good punter, just definitely not as good as he was during his rookie year in 2018. And his Australian buddy, Cameron Johnson. We have two Australians on this list, Brinson.
Australian punters are huge in college now.
Yeah.
It's like an Australian pipeline, Australian punters, for like all these like big schools have gone with Australian punters. Okay,
so we should have gotten Outback Steakhouse to sponsor the bottom five.
You know, we haven't. I don't eat enough Outback.
Yeah, maybe Bloomin' Onion, man. You don't eat the Bloomin' Onion.
Well, I'm saying I don't eat it enough. Like I think it's
that's
good.
What I'm saying. You can get a whole day's worth of calories in one Bloomin' Onion. So if you're like really hungry, you hit the Bloomin' Onion, dude.
So in less than ideal news, my computer is completely frozen up on me, and is just not moving. So why don't you tell me about your top five?
All right, let's go with the top five here. Number five, Brett Kern of the Tennessee Titans. Kern had a huge year. He was a big reason why the Titans were so good. That offense.
Him and Derrick Henry, really. I mean, yeah, maybe Ryan Tannehill.
We'll throw in Ryan Tannehill. But, like, the offense isn't the Chiefs' offense. They don't score on every drive. And so when you're not scoring every drive, your punter becomes a weapon. And Brett Kern placed 37 punts inside his opponent's 20-yard line. Only two punters had more than 35. He was one of them. And if you're a punter, that is the gold standard. If you can pin someone inside their 20, because that's better than a touchback, that's literally the best thing you can do because it makes your opponent's field long to score points. So Kern, probably Titans fans were not happy. He was another one that probably could have been ranked higher. If I did this over, I might have put him at 3 or 2, but he's definitely easily a top 5 punter in the NFL. Number 4, Andy Lee of the Cardinals. You know how bad the Cardinals have been for the past few years. Andy Lee gets so much action.
Andy Lee acquired from the Panthers in a trade. Do they trade him? Am I wrong about that?
He's been around forever. So I can't.
He was with the Browns, and then the Panthers gave Dave Gettleman gave the Browns a 4th-round pick for Andy Lee.
Well, he's been in the NFL since 2004. So it's like he's one guy who can't keep his career. So he's been at the 49ers, the Browns, the Panthers, and the Cardinals. So he has been getting some serious action, you know, even
he's traded for a 4th-round pick. That's insane.
Well, that's why you do it. He's number 4, 4th best punter. Would you give up a 4th-round pick for the 4th best punter?
No, but Dave Gettleman would.
Well, Brinson, I would give up a 4th-round pick for the 4th best, being the 4th best at your position in the entire NFL. But yeah, he's 37 years old and he's still banging out punts. He averaged 47.8 yards per punt, which was the second highest number in the NFL. Another guy who's on this list because he gets a ton of action and comes through is Tress Way of the Redskins. I think my favorite reaction was Twitter. On Twitter, somebody's like, is Tress Way a real name or are you just like fooling us to see if to, you know, if we can actually name punters, kind of Brinson's game here.
Tress Wade, obviously a real person.
Is a real person. Is definitely a real person. He averaged 49.6 yards per punt last year. That was the ninth highest single season total in NFL history. And also, I talked about inside the 20 being important for a punter. The other thing you want is high net yardage. Your yards per punt doesn't mean anything if you don't have a good net yardage, because maybe your team's getting a lot of return. Maybe you're out kicking your coverage. Tressway, 44.1 net yards per punt, which ranked third in the NFL. Number two on the list, Brinson's boy, Johnny Hecker. And, you know, Hecker is the only person on this list who I didn't just consider as punting. I consider that this guy's an actual weapon. Yeah. The Rams regularly use him for fake punts. The guy's completed more passes in NFL career than Taysom Hill. So Johnny Hecker absolutely is not just a great punter. He's, for his career, he's averaged 47 yards per punt, which is the second highest career average in NFL history. He was seventh in the NFL in net yards last year. So he's had a solid career, and obviously he is a weapon. Number one on this list, Thomas Morstead of the Saints, who now follows Brinson on Twitter.
That's right. And you, Thomas, shout out to Thomas Morstead. So you ranked him first overall on the punter list. Then he followed you on Twitter, and I went out and followed him. He immediately followed me back. I like that idea that you can follow somebody and they get a notification that says you followed him.
I would like to point out that Morstead wasn't already following me, and I gave him some sort of special treatment because he was following me. That is not the case. This was looking at the numbers, and Morstead came out as the best punter. He put nearly 50% of his punts inside his opponent's 20-yard line. We talked about how important that is. He forced 21 fair catches. So that's good, because your coverage team is taking out of the equation. And now, fair catches are good if you have a high net average. Because if you have 60 fair catches, but your net average is only 35 yards, that's not good. You're just giving me short punts, and the returner can't return it. Morstead, a bunch of fair catches, but he had a net average of 43.1, which ranked fifth overall in the NFL last year. He has had a top 10 net punting average in the past 9 years, and he's ranked in the top five in seven of the past 9 years. So his net punting average has been top five in seven of the past 9 years, including last year. And he is the third highest yards per punt in NFL history average, and that is 46.9. So Morstead has been crushing it. He does kick indoors, but that's not the same as field goals. Kickers have a lot more to deal with. Punters, the weather is a factor, but unless it's major, unless there's 40-mile-an-hour winds, there's not a huge difference.
Yeah, and, I mean, that really speaks, too, to the Saints. Like, you know, I think we sleep on – I mean, obviously, we're, you know – special teams sort of comes in third place when you're talking about offense, defense, and special teams. But it's pretty clear. I mean, like, the Saints have a very well-rounded roster. It's why the Saints have gone 13-3 the last 2 years. Like, it's not just offense. It's not just Drew Brees.
No, absolutely. JLC asked me who, Lachlan Ford asked me who I thought had the best kicker punter tandem, because they thought Tucker and Cook should be number one. But I told them I thought that Will Lutz and Thomas Morstead would be number one, and the Tucker and Cook probably number two. But again, you're talking about two of the best teams. They understand, two coaches who understand how important special teams are, and if you have one of the best punters and one of the best kickers, that puts you ahead of the game, because, you know, there's going to be one or two games per season that come down to a field goal. There's going to be one or two games per season that come down to field position, and if you have a kicker who can make that field goal or a punter who can flip the field, all of a sudden, you're ahead of the game. And if the difference between the number one seed and the number two seed is one game, maybe that game is something that your punter or kicker wins for you. And now that there's only one home field advantage, one seed gets that in each conference, you know, kickers and punters may be a lot more important in 2020.
I love it. Great stuff, Breach. Hope everybody has a happy and safe and non-Jason Pierre-Paul-like July 4th.
And if you're over 21, I'm already... if you're drinking,
we're hammered fireworks right now. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not yet
wasted.
As soon as I get off with Brinson, I have to drink just to like cope with talking to Brinson for an hour. So this is going to be a crazy 4th of July for me.
Debo has developed a very bad drink.
Brinson, this is 5 a.m. that people are listening to this right now. So good for you.
Is it?
It could be.
If they're up that early. I don't know, but anybody's getting up that early, Debo.
Why would people be up at 5 a.m. on July 4th?
I don't know. Some people, it's like you wake up early for Christmas. It's America's birthday. You open America's presents. You get up early.
Are we releasing this on YouTube at the same time as the podcast or earlier?
This will be also a July 4th treat on YouTube for our viewers and listeners.
So in other words, people are going to see me wearing this yellow shirt for like four straight days.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
It's a holiday weekend. You don't have to change.
Yeah, but it's like, it is like conceivable that I've been wearing this shirt for four straight days. My wife actually made fun of me for wearing the same gray shirt for two straight days. So that's exciting. Happy birthday, America. Everyone have a great July 4th. Breach, thank you for your diligence in the kicker and punter special teams industry. There's no one better at it in the national NFL media. Talk to you soon.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.